you're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
As we become more reliant upon God, we actively cooperate with the Holy Spirit. What we're actually doing is we're training ourselves to be people who say yes to whatever comes next. And have you ever seen the movie Yes Man? Anybody out there who's seen Yes Man? This is not like that, okay? Forget what you saw. My greatest hope for every single person who is a part of Hillside, who we have a point of contact with, who we have the opportunity to influence, my hope is that not I will tell you, here's what you guys need to believe, here's how you need to act, here's what you need to do. What I want to do is I want to teach in such a way that people learn what the Bible says and can learn and study it for themselves. I want to teach people and pass on that they can, you know, it's not this rocket science, it's only accessible to a few people, that God's word is alive and it's active and it's able to do transforming work in us. And it's not doesn't take somebody with a pastoral license to explain it to us, but the Holy Spirit will teach us what's inside of it. I want people who are a part of our church family to be willing to say yes to God when he has the next thing for them. If you will say yes to him, it doesn't matter where the destination is. A lot of times people say, well, what's the long-term goal? It's like, I don't know what the long-term goal is other than I want to follow after Jesus and do what he says. The short-term goal is to put into practice whatever he's got for me. So it's not that I've lost any long-term focus for my life. It's just everything that I would want to do long-term, I get to submit to him. And that's my hope for us. Okay, that's the nutshell version. Pancakes are almost ready, okay? So, there's bacon pancakes and chocolate chip pancakes. But before then, I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Now, this Proverbs chapter 1 through about Proverbs chapter 16 are known as an invitation to wisdom. And these are written by Solomon, who God referred to as the wisest man ever, which is kind of funny when you look at what he did later on in his life. He didn't always follow his own wisdom. Instead, he followed, well, he got married 1,000 times. Most of the marriages were for convenience. And it's like, hey, you know what? I'd really like to have an alliance with Egypt. How about we get an Egyptian honey for you, Solomon? So great, there we are. But at some point, he would make decisions based upon the draws of the needs of life or politics or power instead of following after God's wisdom. So please, as we're reading through this today, this isn't just like a declaration that says, if you do these things, then you'll never have any problems. This is really more of a, here's what God's wisdom says. And if we follow in God's wisdom, we have the opportunity to receive the blessings that go along with that. God does not bless us solely because we do what he says. But when we are walking in his ways and following his commandments, we are living in a way that allows for blessing to happen. So if you live in California, you will pay state income taxes. Okay? If you live in Nevada, you don't have to pay state income taxes. Now, if you live in California and you have the opportunity to live in Nevada, but you don't, but you live in California and you are complaining about your state income taxes, it's kind of on you. Now, I'm not going to say that, I don't want to drag this metaphor out too far because I know how some people feel about Californians and Nevada and back and forth. But in the situation at where when God puts something in front of us, he's not saying, and if you do this, then, you know, it's like the carrot that in front of us. You know, you do this and you'll finally get the carrot. No, he says, here's the way that's going to lead to you experiencing life the way it was intended to be lived. Would you acknowledge that perhaps a lot of the ways we live are not the way humans were intended to live on earth. With sickness, with broken relationships, with loss, with death, with all sorts of... We were not intended to live in that particular manner. But when Adam and Eve sinned and we gave the keys of dominion of this planet over to our enemy, these are byproducts of that. God intersects it and says, let me give you the map that will show you how to navigate through the minefield that is the world that we live in. So, walking in God's ways lead us to living a life that he can bless. And so in this first section, the writer speaking with God's voice is saying this. Don't forget the things that I've taught you. Let your heart keep these commandments. Here's what happens. Length of days, years of life, and peace will be yours if you embrace God's commandments. Okay? There is a if then that's attached to it. And it's not, again, God holding something in front of us to attempt to get us to do something. He's saying, my way leads to life. All other ways don't. Make your choice. In 2018, my prayer is that rather than making these grand resolutions, we make some intention set that I am going to take the way that leads to life. If you've gone down the way that leads to every other place, it's wide, there's a lot of people on it, and you can do whatever you want. If you've been on that road for any length of time, what happens? Pain. Lots of pain. And some of the pain happens because things are done to us. Some of the pain happens because of things we're doing. Some of the pain happens because of the life we live in. Life will have pain. But if we choose to do things our way and to live just how we feel best, we are going to make decisions that will lead towards death-dealing things happening in our life. Thank the Lord that I did not have to live by the decisions I was making when I was 16 years old. I was talking to John Piette yesterday, we were up here, and I said, I can remember being a lot smarter when I was like 17, 18 years old, especially talking to my parents. I was so smart. And then when I hit 22, 23, living life, married kids, and work, and all this other stuff, I realized how either my parents went to college or something, they got a lot smarter. They knew so much more. And looking back at my own life, I think the things that I prayed for, the things that I hoped for, the things that I was aiming at were so shifty and they were so temporary that through perspective, it's like, oh, this is why God says, focus on my perspective because your perspective's going to be like, ooh, all over the place. You know, some of us might be able to hold our focus for a little bit longer, but a lot of us can be like the dog in Up. Doug? He's like, squirrel. We can be that way with our attention. And God says, regardless of how your attention span is, what your willpower is, focus on this, my precepts, my commands. So, as we go through this, don't let steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Don't let steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Okay, I get the picture of faithfulness and steadfast love being really fast wiener dogs. Okay? So faithfulness and steadfast love, these are two wiener dogs that are looking to get out. And so the owner of the house is saying, here's the deal. Don't let them dogs out. Because then they'd say, who let the dogs out? Be the house? You did. No. But you can imagine, you know that dog that you've had that is so sneaky and just can bail and get out. Faithfulness and steadfast love can seem difficult to invest in, can seem difficult to wrap our hands around. It can almost seem like everything else, every other response would be easier than that. Which is maybe why the writer tells us, don't let these get away. Faithfulness and steadfast love lead to favor and success with God and with people. As we are faithful to God, as we devote ourselves to Him, He's going to show us ways that we can be faithful in our interactions with people. One of the greatest gifts God's ever given to Joni and I is the ability to live in this town. At no point did I, when we were getting married and working through what we're going to do for the rest of our lives, because really all I wanted, just want to get married to her and then we'll figure it out as we go. And when I proposed, I almost had a lead on a job at Domino's for delivering pizzas. So not quite the, you know, if you have this guy's a potential son-in-law showing up on your doorstep, I'd like to marry your daughter. where do you work? What's your plan? Domino's said I have a chance. It's like, didn't work. But I can remember looking at it, and with our relationship, it came. I always had the opportunity to interact with people, kind of helping them along in their relationship with God. And I've worked other jobs and doing other things, but when the opportunity to kind of maybe pastor a church pops up, it wasn't like, I mean, I had opportunities. It's like, no, thank you. I don't want to move to X place or that place. Reno's my home. And then the opportunity to pastor this church came open in 2000. And I'm like, Lord, I'm praying that this would be something, if this is where you want us to be, that we get to live here a long time. Because I don't want to be the guy who's like, I'm not chasing a career of, and then when I, by the time I'm 60, I'm going to have this. And, you know, the fancy platform with the cool, you know, maroon looking chairs with like the guys up on the thing throughout the entire service. You wonder how he's going to get down, but he's up on that. That's never been my goal. Being in a town where we can grow up and our kids can grow up and we can get to know the people and be known and live for a long period of time. You get to experience a lot of life's up and downs with people. And when you experience that, they get a chance to see, wow, there's certain things about you that are continue to be true. And I can very happily state, when you see something good in me, it's Jesus. It's not, wow, how pastoral. It's like, you didn't know Louis 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 25. It's Jesus. And when you live in a place for a long period of time, it's like, hey, you're not nearly as bad as you were before. It's like, yeah, it's awesome. Faithfulness also has the opportunity to build relationship. And there's nothing better than being able to look around and to see people I've known since they were 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old following Jesus with their own families. It's fun. All right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is the bumper sticker verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. What's the big deal about trusting in the Lord with all of our heart? At some point, we develop competencies. At some point, we develop skills. At some point, we start getting information. And it's very possible for us, at times, to think, God, I'll come to you for the big stuff, but for the stuff that I can handle, I got that. We head off into a dangerous area when we stop trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and we start leaning on our own understanding. Sometimes we're going to be making some great decisions, but other times we would be making decisions that don't have the outside insight or the inside insight that comes from the Holy Spirit. And my hope is that in 2018, we would be people who are growing, not just in our competency and our ability to live according to God's ways and means, but that we'll be people who will continue, in spite of what we know in our head, to rely upon God and his direction and his understanding so he can make our paths straight. To me, one of the most important things that this illustrates is that there's ways that can seem right to me that can be completely off. But if I am saying, here's my general direction where I feel like I'm going, but Lord, I ask you to direct my steps, he is going to direct my steps. Now, have you ever had a moment where you're reading the Bible or you're working through something you feel like God's leading you to do, and you have a point of disagreement with God or the Bible? You read something, it's like, no. Love your enemies, pray for those who spitefully use you. How many of you are like, yes. Love them. Get to love them. It's like, no, we like the verse in the Old Testament. Do nice things for your enemies, and it'll be like putting burning coals on their head. I can get into that. But like this other stuff. So what do we do when we come? And I'm not talking about something illegal or immoral or unbiblical. You know, God told me to wipe out all of California, except for San Francisco, because the Giants are there. No, that's not from God, okay? Anything that would lead us away from following in God's love, acceptance, forgiveness, grace, forgiveness. Anything that leads us away, that puts us on a platform and puts us in a spot of attention instead of bringing glory to him, we've got to question that. So for us to be able to say, I want to trust in your ways. We look in the Bible. Moses was called the most humble, most reliant man upon God. And yet God spoke to him and said, I want you to speak to this rock. And I want you to tell the rock to give up water, to water to come out. Because all the people haven't been drinking water and they're really thirsty and they're complaining and there's lots of them. So instead of taking your stick, which you've used several times to whack rocks and to hit the Red Sea and you threw it on the ground, it became a snake. The stick was awesome. Everybody wanted a look with Moses' stick. They'd walk, you know, I can imagine if they had cameras back in the day, they'd be like, hey, let's get me a cell. Make sure you get the staff in this one. Yeah, this is the one that was threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And it budded and there was flowers and stuff. Get that in the picture too. And make sure his face is glowing. I wonder if they had the correction for Moses' glowing face. And at this particular time, God says, speak to this rock. And Moses takes his trusty staff that he has used over and over again. God, you meant to take the staff and hit the rock, right? So he takes it and he hits it because he's ticked off and he's mad at the people. And God says, Moses, you have thought on your own and you disobeyed what I said. You went with what you knew. You gave me I've got this, bro. And you hit the rock. If you can't follow me as I lead you into the promised land, I'll let you see it, but you can't go there. You'll die. He lost part of God's inheritance that was meant for him because he chose to go his own way. Great Fleetwood Mac song, not a good way to live your life. We rely upon God, and when we have the opportunity to make our decision, it's not that we check our brain, but we say, God, not my will, but yours. Trust in the Lord. In most of your ways, right? In most of your ways, acknowledge him. What does it look like to acknowledge God in all my ways? The word acknowledge is not just one of those, like when you're in high school walking down the hallway, you see somebody, one of those little head things that you did, or that little hand thing, which if you're in an auction, you can win all sorts of stuff just having little ticks. No, the acknowledge is to know. It is to perceive. It is to consider. It is to declare. And if I think I'm acknowledging God in all of my ways, now when we think of ways, we're not thinking of like highway. But in Jesus' time and in the times when this is written, the way would be the road. Do you know the way to? Thank you. Dionne Warwick, yes. The way was the path or the street or the road that you would be on. And so in all your ways, acknowledge Jesus. In all your ways, everywhere you go, every road that you're on, every proverbial road that you're on, every highway you're going down, how can I acknowledge? How can I declare? How can I consider? How can I perceive? How can I know him? He will make straight your paths. So wonderfully, a couple weeks ago, we had Jake Gomez explain what was going on over on Pyramid Highway with Granite's expansion of that. What used to be a monstrosity, and now it's a beautiful thing because you can drive on it, and there's no those orange flowers that were everywhere for so long. But God will make straight your paths. This isn't a, you know what, I've got you just because I love you better because you're obeying me. This is a, as you trust in God, he shows you ways around the swamps. I'm thankful that God delivers us from evil. I'm thankful, like in Psalm 40, where it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he rescued me from the miry clay. But many times, when we're walking in God's ways, we don't get stuck in the clay in the first place. He is a rescuer. But how much better is it that we don't have to be rescued? Please don't take this bad. Having a great testimony of being saved from a bunch of terrible things is a wonderful thing. Better than that is having a wonderful testimony where you've been able to walk in God's ways and not have to be continually pulled out of the fire. You hear what I'm saying? There's a point of life, and it's a really boring for a testimony. I've been following Jesus most of my life, and I try and do whatever he says whenever. It's like, well, did you kill anybody while you were doing it? It's like, no, I didn't. Not never. It's like, well, okay. I mean, you think it's a little bit funny, but I can remember being in high school, and this girl, as we're sharing our testimony, she said, I gotta come up with something good because I got nothing. Everybody else is telling me, well, they were in this and they were caught in that. It's like, I haven't. And she felt bad because, you know, I received Jesus when I was 8 and got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been trying to pursue my relationship with God ever since. And so, and she was like, no, this is good. God rescues. But he also leads us away from having to get into those junky spots where we have to be rescued. Right on? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Wisdom from above versus the wisdom of this world. There's a lot of things that make sense to God that are counterintuitive to the wisdom of this world. When Matt was talking earlier about giving tithes and offerings, it flies in the face of our world to think, yeah, I'm going to give away a percentage of income. It's like, well, God says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and if we respond in obedience, there's actually going to be something that's incredible, which leads us to this next section. It says, honor God with your stuff. Look at that. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Any farmers? Okay, farmers back there. Farmers, yes. Most of us don't farm anymore. How many people have cows at home? Donkeys? Goats? Chickens? Somebody's got chickens. Nobody's got chickens. Honor God with your stuff has everything to do. Honor means give proper value, give proper weight to what you have. That everything that we have is righteous, used for justice, and is equitable. This proper weight, it's not elevating our possessions and finances to be a god, and it's not disregarding them. It's saying, these are God-given, I'm going to honor him with that. And as I honor, there's also going to be, I love your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will be bursting with wine. The metaphors, filled and bursting. Rather than when we give, we are left in a point of lack and going without. God, living in a way where we give allows God to bless us so that we end up with more than we would have had if we would have just had our own. Filled and bursting. Okay. Last of all, you want to know, we have proof that God loves us. God loves us and we know it because he corrects us. There's even one, the word reproof in this means discipline. Now, the discipline is a D word. Some of us have been disciplined in a way that was abusive. And you say, well, that's just the way it was back in the day. I've heard a few years ago, there was a football player who gave his son, who was 4 years old, the kind of spanking he got when he was a kid. And he was covered from head to toe with these welts from the willow branch. And it came to light. And everybody who had kind of grown up there, yeah, that's just the way we were raised. Well, that's not discipline. The whole, it hurts me more than it hurts you. Being on the other side of that, it does not. It does not hurt me more. Discipline is not breaking something. You know, you can bring somebody into a point of submission, but you end up breaking the very thing that God wants to elevate and to do a transformation with. When God trains us, when he corrects us, when he rebukes us, when he challenges us, he is showing he cares what's going on in our life. I can remember complaining a lot when I was in high school, and part of it was because I was the oldest of four boys, which made me kind of the experimental child. And once I had my own kids and I got to realize kind of what, you know, my dad was 36 when I was 16. So, of course, he's going to be dealing with me in a completely different way than he's going to be dealing with my brother Ben if he's my age now, 48, when Ben is 16. I'm 48-year-old Louis versus 36-year-old Louis, radically different person. But in looking at this, correction is something that is indication that God says, I want to shape you. I want to train. I want to challenge you. I want to bring more out of you than would normally be there. Where there's fruit, I want to prune. I want to cut away so that there can be more fruitfulness that happens. What does God's correction, God's reproof, God's rebuking, what does that look like in our life? If you imagine an old dude like from the Far Side calendar who's got the long beard and the big stick or lightning bolts looking to chuck them at us, wrong picture. The God who comes and wants to do training, wants to bring correction, he always will do it by speaking truth in love. He uses his kindness, his love in action to draw us to repentance. Not the loud screaming, you're going to go to hell unless you do this. Instead, it's a, here, come to life. So when we experience God shaping, it can be in the form of a no. It can be in the point where it feels like we've been waiting for an answer to a prayer. And it's like, when's the answer going to come? Sometimes part of the waiting process is the learning that I'm not going to see something immediately, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You know, going back into my childhood and the Karate Kid movies with Pat Morita and Ralph Macchio. Anybody see the original before? Yes. There's points. Anybody who you're familiar with who the Karate Kid is? Okay. Well, there was this boy named Daniel. Let's put him that. No. And he's right there. The Mr. Miyagi is a supposed karate teacher, and Daniel wants to learn karate so he can fight against the Cobra Kai. Okay? So he shows up at Mr. Miyagi's house to learn how to fight, and Mr. Miyagi has him do what? Paint the fence. And then he has him wax his cars, wax on, wax off. Then he has him sand a floor. And Daniel gets royally ticked off in a way that only Ralph Macchio can do. And gets all whiny. Maybe Mark Hamill could be up there with him. But just all whiny. I thought I was going to learn how to do karate. And Mr. Miyagi comes at him and goes, okay, paint the fence. And so Daniel goes like this. And Mr. Miyagi throws a punch and he blocks it. And he's like, now sand a floor. And he's blocking it. And he's doing, now wax on, wax off. And he's doing all these moves that turned out to be karate. Daniel complained the entire time. Until he sees yet, yeah, wax on, wax off, sandy floor, paint the fence. Ooh, look at me doing karate. Hey, God trains us in ways that we may not see. You know, what are you doing this for? I don't understand why you're making this happen. God never wastes his training. Every job I've ever had in my life, I've worked as a chicken farmer. Dead serious. I have worked as a maintenance guy. I've worked as a lawn guy. I worked as a secretary. I worked as a file clerk. I worked as a Domino's pizza delivery man, Hustler of the Month, February of 88. I've done all these different jobs. And every single job God has used in the next jobs that I've done. A couple weeks ago, one of our preschool teachers said, I'd love to trade jobs with you for just a day because I just change diapers all day. And I just love to just do what you do. Just like talk to people and get up and give speeches. It's like, and that's like an hour, 20 minutes of my week. How about the rest of it? And I gave her some truth. Had some real talk. And she didn't want my job anymore. But anyway, that's just a side note. So you're welcome. As we wrap up, it's very tempting to try and say, and 2018 is going to be the best year yet. We're going to do all these big changes and all these things are going to break out in our life. But really, a lot of what we're going to end up doing is going to look the same of what we've been doing, maybe with some little tweaks in it. If we want to make huge changes in our life, they're much harder to sustain than the ones where God would come in and do a shift and say, you know what? We're going to work on mercy this year. We're going to work on extending grace to yourself and extending grace to others. We're going to look to cooperate with every nudge of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take a risk that if I go someplace and I hear God say, I feel like maybe God said, hey, you should ask that person how they're doing. I'm going to trust that if that's what's happening, that God is actually nudging me to do that. And I'm actually going to do it because I want to just be in that opportunity. And then I'm not going to do anything bizarre or weird. I'm just going to listen to whatever nudge the Holy Spirit might do for me. I want to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be in the same spot in 2018, December 31st, that I am right now. I want to keep growing in my relationship with God. That the expectation is that there's more. One of the best ways we grow as a disciple of Jesus is sharing what we have already with other people. If you're waiting to get a certification to be able to start discipling other people, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because Jesus said he called a bunch of guys, most of them between the ages of 14 and 20, and said, okay, guys, follow me. And they said, where are we going? He says, come and you'll see. And then he sent them out and said, now go make disciples. They didn't know what they were doing. They went with a buddy and they just shared what Jesus had done with them and in their life. If you do that more and more in 2018, you will be making disciples. Now don't get weird and start wearing a cloak and make people follow around behind you wearing sandals and stuff. Don't do that. It's weird. But what you can do is intentionally look to engage with people who you would normally be engaging with. And as the opportunity arises, share what God is doing in your life. This may not mean where you're sitting around your conference table at work and, you know, how was your New Year's? Well, you know, the steadfast love of the Lord is new every morning. I just wanted to share that with you. It's like, well, I was just asking about your New Year's Day. It's like, well, New Year's Day, we had pancakes at my church, which was most excellent. And thank the Lord. It's like not everything has to be twisted into a conversation about God. But there's a lot of happenings in life where we can share something he's done in us. And it doesn't have to be this heavy revelation. It's just the normal things God does in our life. Right on? So in 2018, let's be open to God directing our steps. Let's look to grow as being a disciple and a discipler. And that's just saying yes to him. Right after we're done, there's going to be pancakes. And there's also going to be some people up here who are available to pray with you. If something has popped up where you want to maybe want to begin following after Jesus, or there's someone sick or hurt, you'd like to have prayer for them. That'll be happening right up here. But let's go ahead and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the great privilege of following you and of walking in this Hillside community. I pray as we look towards 2018 that we would be people who hear your voice and respond. Lord, I thank you that the more we hear and listen and do, the more we get to hear and listen and do. I would ask that every distraction, everything that would cause us to be tripped up, everything that would be a challenge, Lord, that we would rise up to that occasion, not in our own strength, but standing in your grace through faith. In Jesus' name.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.